You're listening to Red Nation Online.
Yes, Lord, the yes. The truth it is, I have to confess. Officer, no bad charge. Smoke and diesel ganja.
This is 514 FC on Red Nation Online. You're listening to us en direct de Café Frappé on Boulevard Saint-Laurent. It's the sidewalk sale weekend. There's beautiful women everywhere in the city, George.
It's the Ides of June. It's June 15th. It's the middle of summer in Montreal. We are 514 FC, and this is prediction time.
Okay, I'm spinning it 1-1, George. We're going to be lucky if we get away with a road point here. 1-1. And DeBio is going to score our one goal. There you go.
I like how that sounds. I have DeBio in my fantasy pool. I was contemplating about it. I was thinking 3-1, but I'm feeling audacious right now. 4-1 in Columbus today. Montreal Impact victory.
You're dreaming, my friend. We're going to be lucky if we get out of there with the road tie point, but okay.
I have DeBio, and I just acquired Bernier back in MLS Fantasy, and these guys better get me those points tonight.
MLS Fantasy fucked me, and I did not load up on MLS Impact players. However, I did load up on Portland Timbers players, but we're going to get to that in a later segment.
We're feeling hot tonight. We're feeling confident, and this is it.
1-1, George.
4-1, Rob.
Ciao.
To Spugani.
Well, if you love me, I'm for the says, like up the man for the sugar cane. This sense is good for the brain. When I need some meditation.
We're laughing at how bad our predictions were tonight, because I predicted a 1-1 draw in Columbus. And what did you predict?
I predicted a 4-1 debauchery in Columbus.
We're back on 514 FC, and neither of us were correct because we just lost 2-0 in Columbus.
What I saw was garbage.
Yeah, this was a pretty depressing game for me, actually. The highlight of it was actually our interview that we're going to play for you right after this segment, which is actually an interview with Emilio and Felix of ARMS.
From ARMS.
The anti-racist Montreal supporters group. Very interesting guys. I had a lot of fun interviewing them. So we're going to play that after we kind of recap this match and tell you about some how we're doing in MLS Fantasy. Suffice it to say, one of us is doing much better than the other.
We won't say who yet.
But we definitely were not...
We weren't impressed.
We were way off on our predictions for this match.
Dude, we were confident. We're number one in the standings.
We still are number one in the standings as of recording today on Sunday.
And from what we saw over the past weeks, Columbus, their defense, you know, it's easy to be broken. And I think Biello thought that they were going to have an easy time penetrating through Columbus defense. And I think it bit them back, you know?
Yeah, exactly. I mentioned Biello. We did not see Marco Schalibon. He was expelled
Let's start with that.
He was suspended. The suspensions, yes. Good place to start.
Yeah.
Who else was suspended?
Oh, Mr. Adductor or Mr. No Adductor, Alessandro Nesta.
Yeah, first he was out for an adductor strain and came back in, and I believe it was the game he came back in. He headbutted a guy, got a red card, and he was suspended for this game.
So we lose our coach for this game, and we lose Alessandro Nesta.
Exactly. So our back line was a little weak. We started with Matteo Ferrari, Hassoun Kamara.
The two walls.
In the center, Jeb Brofsky on the right, and Yep Aquino on the left. So it's not our strongest defensive line. And
You got Rivas spinning on the sidelines. No news on Rivas.
Dude, can we actually officially stop talking about Rivas? Because he's a bust. I have all but marked him off on my Impact team roster poster. You know, we have marked off Greg Sutton. We have marked off Jesse Marsh from that poster. I'm waiting till the day I get to mark off Nelson Rivas. He's a bust, man. So I don't even count him as eligible for this back line.
Sad, because when we saw him, he did have potential because he made things look so easy, but it's just a problem with his fitness. This guy has zero fitness, it seems, or it's just hard for him to readapt back into MLS physical state.
And speaking of fitness, the next question mark in my mind is Alessandro Nesta. So, you know, we've gotten now, half a season, two half seasons from him. We know he's going to retire this year. How many more games can we count on this guy? I mean, you can't come back from an adductor strain injury and then get red carded for stupidities.
I just hope the last week with Alessandro being off, he basically went to Florida, took some time off to relax, because we need him back. We need him back. If we want to make a push for playoffs, and again, push for number one in the East, which we are doing pretty, it's pretty impressive when you compare exactly last season, you know, where we were at. Struggling, losing games last minute.
Mm-hmm.
A bit like our friends down the 401, you know? So, my God, let's get back to the game. So we got Chalibom out.
We got a weak back line. In the midfield, we had Felipe from left to right. Felipe, Patrice Bernier with the armband, Colin Warner, and Justin Mapp. Not yet. I shouldn't get ahead of myself.
But our Canadian
Championship Voyager Cup MVP. And I'm sorry, I have to pause right here, George. I'd say that
announcement.
This is a bit of an announcement. I made a promise.
Yes, you did.
Via Twitter.
You are King Rob.
Twitter feed. And for those of you not connected to our Twitter feed, 514_FC.
You could always catch us on
rednationonline.ca. And I made a promise. It was a promise a while back. It was about a month or two back. And it was, in fact, the game where Kamara had his photo on the ticket with another fan, obviously. As you had your photo with Marco Di Vaio on that ticket, but it was the game of the Kamara ticket, and I had just gotten my third kit jersey thanks to you and your second voucher. Thank you very much, and I made a promise on Twitter that I would put the Voyager Cup MVP on the back of my jersey, because at that point, I recall it was after our first match against Toronto that we didn't fare too well.
Oh, 2-0.
Exactly. And so I was getting desperate, and it was a call to the gods almost, if the gods are on Twitter.
We're waiting for this magic name.
So I wanted it to be Kamara. Because he obviously scored the winning goal in that last match against Vancouver, even though it was kind of a sloppy header, but the cross was delivered by Mapp, and Mapp had, an assist or two.
He performed quite well in the Canadian Championship.
Performed quite well, so I think it's only fair that I give it to Justin Mapp, the jersey.
This is it.
Justin Mapp, you're officially getting on my jersey. How many people at Stade Saputo have Mapp on their jersey?
We're going to say a bit. Well,
I have not seen one yet, my friend.
We'll ask the lady at the admission to see if she could tell us where Justin Mapp fared in the rankings, because we know Nesta's number one.
Yes, we asked the lady at the Impact gift shop who the number one name on jerseys are, and it is Nesta. So enjoy your Nesta jersey while it lasts, because this is pretty much his last season, and he's said so publicly.
Mapp's a success.
You know, enjoy it while it lasts.
What is it? Hashtag Mapp to CONCACAF?
Dude, I think Mapp performed well in this game. He got some crosses in. He was penetrating, and he was a great dribbler as always. But I had to pause there and say that it's going to be Mapp on the jersey.
I'm impressed.
Because I made a promise on Twitter, and some of the Twitter followers held me to it. And I'm going to put Mapp.
It's going to be Mapp. It's Mapp. It's Mapp, everybody. It's Mapp.
Which brings us to the front line.
The forwards.
Which we always like to see Andrew Wenger get playing time. And he was playing alongside Marco Di Vaio.
Yeah.
And you have Di Vaio. Actually, you had the top two strikers in your MLS fantasy lineup, Di Vaio and Higuain.
And Fagundes up there. I played 3-4s this week in MLS Fantasy.
Beautiful, my friend. Beautiful. So
the game starts.
So that's what the Impact lineup looked like. The game starts, and of course, right off the bat, we concede a goal in the 6th minute to Matias Sanchez. So Sanchez was basically the recipient of a lucky bounce and some sloppy tackling on Kamara's part, and a deflection off Jeb. Nothing Troy Perkins could do about it. He had already committed to the right side, I believe. And it was just poor defense. Again, Kamara with a sloppy tackle, and Jeb and Iapechino were closing in, but it just so happened that the deflection happened to come off Jeb's foot. I mean, it's unlucky, but you know, that's that. It won nothing after the 6th minute, and shortly after that, also in the 6th minute, Felipe getting into it with Sanchez again.
In the corner.
Felipe, usually the guy getting his opponent's yellow cards, got a yellow card himself. That was in the 9th minute.
Nothing happened in this match. That's what it is. It's just basically, this match had 22 minutes. The second goal came in the 22nd minute mark. And guess who fumbled up this fucking ball? Colin fucking Warner. How many times did you make me see the replay? How many times did you make me see him bobble and lose that ball?
Yeah.
What was he doing?
I think it was Bernier or Felipe that passed it to him. And Colin Warner just bobbled it and couldn't recover fast enough. I think while I was watching the replay, I had time to yell, pass it to Kamara like 3 times. And Oduro pickpocketed him and just ran in and scored. Again, nothing Troy could do about it.
So this is what it was. The match was over in 22 minutes.
This match had 22 minutes.
Columbus nailed those nails in the coffin. This only took 22 minutes.
This was a huge game for Columbus, man, because they were at 17 points before this game, and now they're at 20. They're tied for New England in that last spot just below playoff contention. You know, they have 20 points along with New England. Philadelphia, Houston, and Kansas are at 22, and Impact and Red Bulls are up there with 26 and 25. So, you know, this was a huge game for them. We could have progressed to 27 or 29 points in 13 games, but we didn't, you know, so.
But we're still up there top in the East. We have a game to look forward to on Wednesday against Houston. But, you know, we did, the game was over in 22 minutes because afterwards, really nothing much happened. You know, my keynotes that I noted down basically in the first half was poor Wenger. You know, he had two basically opportunities, one in the 20th minute, the first one in the 20th minute when Bernier passed him the ball. And again, you know, he had the right corner, the left corner, you know, top, low, but he shoots it right on Grunenbaum, and that was one missed op.
Mm.
And the second one came in the 45th minute, right before the half. Again, you know, he took the ball off aggressively, was gunning down the net on the left side,
mm-hmm.
and he roofs it over the net with his right foot.
Yeah, yeah, that was just total psychological failure right there, because he had it in his sights.
You,
what can you say? You know,
you saw in his play he was a bit nervous. You saw he made an error. You noted the error too on his first missed opportunity.
Yeah, where he looked up at the sideline referee to see if he was offside.
Marco, what would have Marco done?
Oh, Marco just would have ran at the net and buried it.
This is what Marco needs to tell Wenger.
Yeah. So I mean, you know, you hope with every minute that Wenger is playing on the field with De Vaio that he's picking up stuff and he's correcting mistakes like that one. You know, we can't say the same last year that Jesse Marsh played him a lot with De Vaio. It was pretty much De Vaio with 5 midfielders behind him. So at least this year under Schalibaum, it's nice to see him up there in the forward position playing 4 midfielders, our top 4 midfielders. I mean, we didn't see our top 4 midfielders this match.
Mm-hmm.
Colin Warner.
God Colin
damn
Warner.
It. God damn it, man.
Speaking of midfielders, we did see two, you know, let's get on the subject.
Where was Romero? Where was Andres Romero? Is he injured?
I don't know about Romero
yet. Exactly. I would have much rather had a Romero in there than Warner.
You know, the other thing, too, I did like, too, that I saw in the second half, and you noticed it, too, was the aggressiveness of Mauro Biello and his substitutions.
Yes.
Yes. Yes.
54th minute, Andrew Wenger taken out for Daniele Papone.
Papone.
Thank you for subbing him in at the 54th minute. I'm glad to see this guy's back from injury.
An early aggressive substitution that was not due to an injury. This was a legit substitution. This was early on, you know. Mm-hmm. Yellow wanted to start the half with a bang.
Yeah.
This is what he thought he had to do.
54th minute, yeah. Less than 10 minutes in, he puts Papone in for Wenger. And I'm glad to see him back from injury. In the 65th, he put Pisanu in for...
Another guy who comes back.
Exactly, another guy back from injury.
He puts 11 minutes after the first.
11 minutes later, he puts Pisanu in for Map. And in the 73rd, he puts Blake Smith in for Colin Warner. Thank you very much.
Not even 10 minutes later, he makes his third substitution.
Yeah,
I applaud Mauro and
nice timing. And I like nice.
I like this timing.
He did it early. I really do he did like it this early. Time. We had to shake it up, and he switched things up. Unfortunately, none of it really worked because you know we had 11 attempts on goal compared to their 17 over this match. You know, we only had 3 shots on target. You know, one of those was Felipe's early on, but he was too far out, right? And Grunenbaum had him in his sights. You know, other than that, the stats are pretty much in our favor. You know, we controlled possession 57-42. You know,
passing accuracy, we beat them 80%-79%.
We had way more passes than them. We passed 480 passes to 360. You know, other than that, we're pretty even. 20 crosses apiece. You know,
we
got less fouls in this match. You know, we fucked up defensively. Our defense got its pocket picked, like Colin Warner. Getting pickpocketed. Just go see the replay of Dominic Oduro. Like, Warner has like 5 seconds with the ball.
Yeah. And he doesn't know what to do.
He doesn't know what to do with it. And Kamara is like facing him like
pass it to
me. 5 meters away. And I had time to yell pass to Kamara 3 times while watching this replay. Try it for yourself. See how many times you can yell pass to Kamara. Jesus, Colin.
His head was down just looking at the ball. And next thing you know, his head's on the ground, you know? Falling down like a tree.
S'il vous plaît, coach Chalibam, remplacez-le.
Remplacez-le.
Remplaçable. Colin Warner.
Yeah, he's unfortunately, he's replaceable. I'd like to see him gone.
That was the nail in the coffin in this match. 22 minutes in. 2 goals in 22 minutes. So, and other than that, you know, we've ran down the stats here. We're pretty even and or winning on many counts. So, you know, this is an unfortunate match.
No. This is what I liked in the match. I liked the substitutions. I liked I noticed the 2 Wenger botch ups. Mm-hmm. I don't know, what did you think, Rob?
Well, I had Andy Grunenbaum in my fantasy league pool, and let me just take a look here at how many points he got me this week. So this is the upside to when the Impact don't win. You can always take the opposing players in your MLS fantasy pool and get 9 points as I did with Grunenbaum, which is not bad. Bravo, Grunenbaum.
Bravo, Rob.
Some light applause for Grunenbaum. My previous goalie was Jimmy Nielsen from SKC, who consistently got me points. But going with Grunenbaum, I used my wild card in the last round because of the international call-ups and all the crazy bye week stuff. So my lineup has radically changed.
Yeah. So are we basically like done capping the match?
I am done.
I want to talk some MLS
George,
fantasy.
I don't know if you've noticed, but I've already moved on to the MLS fantasy because this match was boring as fuck. You know, we basically described it was that. It was two goals off defensive bungles and some interesting subs. And moving on to the points that Columbus has gotten me, I've gotten 9 points from Grunenbaum.
So where are you sitting in the standings, Rob? Where are you sitting overall?
I don't even want to say, man.
Overall rank.
Make me say?
I'm going to make you say
My overall rank is pretty pathetic. It is 1,684 overall. I am 63 among Montreal Impact supporters. My highlights are I'm number 3 in League 1338, whatever the fuck that is. 22 in the Juno Football Show. Number 7, Red Nation Online. And number 7, Off the Woodwork.
Well, dude, don't worry. We're going to get you in the right direction. Your wild card. We'll pay you dividends.
George, I think I am kind of starting to go in the right direction.
You are.
Because my team has stagnated for a while. My total team value is at 101, man. I'm stagnating, but I've managed to acquire Landon Donovan, Diego Valeri, Darlington Nagbe, and as well as Michael Harrington from Portland as well, because I know that Portland have a lot of matches coming up, so I've stacked my Portland. I got Landon Donovan as my captain, and I have on the bench this week, because I believe it was a bye, McInerney and Okugo.
Mm.
So I'm satisfied with some of these guys. I'm indifferent about McGee. I'm not quite convinced yet. We're gonna see how he performs against Colorado. And other than that, I think I may have to trade my New England players because I believe they have a bye coming up next week. I have Gonsalves, Farrell, and Fagundes, who actually got me 6 points this round. Fagundes was my lone striker. And other than that, I got Carlo Cuticini on the bench. I know that LA doesn't have many bye weeks coming up in the next several rounds. So I've tried to stack my LA with Landon and Cuticini and Nets as my alternative to Grunenbaum. How about you, man?
I, on the other hand, this is like our first update.
Start with your overall. Let's start with what really counts first. What's your overall?
Last week, I was 154th out of the 22,576 members in the MLS Fantasy League.
Bravo.
This week
What happens with the top 200?
Top 200, this is where you want to be. You want to be in the top 200 because when you're in the top 200, you get the freebies. MLS will basically throw out some freebies when you're in the top 200. So from 100 to 200, you get MLS Live 2014 for free. You get the membership.
MLS Live is great. I mean, like, I'm not trying to sound like I'm trying to sell this to on behalf of MLS, but I got it here, and it's great because you can watch all the humiliating replays. You can watch Nesta's reaction. This is one of our highlights of this season. You need to go back on MLS Live and rewatch in slow motion when Nesta gets a little sniping kick in the face. And how he loses it afterwards, gets up, attempts to headbutt him, I think unsuccessfully, and gets a red card. And his face when he gets the red card is priceless. So, you know, MLS Live is worth it just for that. But anyway, so you're in the running to get a free MLS Live.
I'm in the running right now with this round not complete. I am in 191st place. So I'm basically still in the 200.
Oh, that's why you're getting it. You referenced last week's ranking.
I had to prove both because
this week you went back. You got dropped back down to 191.
I always drop back, but I still got games coming up. I got my Wednesday games. I got Irwin. I got Klute playing for me. I got Valeri playing for me. I got Bernier playing for me. DeVio playing for me. So I got some guys fucking playing for me, so they're going to get me some more points. So I hope I can sit around, you know, 170 by the end of this week. But I want to stay in this 200. I want to win something. And me, the leagues that I like to dominate, you know, not to dominate, to say that I'm proud of, League Soccer Plus, third place. I'm in first place in the 514 FC MLS Fantasy Group, which, by the way, we will get you that number. just we can't find it. So I think I'm going to have to write an email to MLS Fantasy and get this number
for
you guys.
We're going to blast it out on Twitter as soon as we find it.
I am number one on Off the Woodwork.
Bravo, my friend.
And number two on Red Nation Online and two in Du Nord Football Show.
I like your confidence, my friend. I'm going to have to closely analyze my my two transfers for this week. We're going to, as soon as we find the code for our MLS Fantasy League, 514FC Fantasy League, we're going to blast that out on Twitter for you, so check that out. As always, we're going to be publishing this podcast on rednationonline.ca. Check out all their stuff. I always listen to Eastside Stand-Up.
Check them out.
Hilarious. Actually, the recent one, they were pretty happy because they actually won for once. So,
props. Kudos. Road victory.
Kudos to TFC for once. And yeah.
So, we're basically going to end this with our interview with Arms with Felix and Emilio. And the sound quality will be, you know, a little bit fuzzy with the background music.
We were recording at Cafe Frappe.
And it was this. Remember, this is after a couple of pints, after a couple of sessions in the alley,
and after a tough road defeat in Columbus. So no one was really in a festive mood.
No, we were down to business, and very interesting things to say.
Very interesting conversation. These guys are. I applaud them for initiating the anti-racist Montreal supporter group, and more power to them, man.
More power to them. So we won't say any more.
Happy listening.
Happy listening. And again, follow us on Twitter.
514_FC.
RedNationOnline.ca.
TPG.
So if he's a god, I charge me. He smoke one piece of ganja. You're an ano charge me. He smoke this sense of mina. If he's a god,
we're back on 514FC, live at Cafe Frappe on Saint Laurent. It's the sidewalk sale. There's tons of beautiful women out. I love it. And we're here with our special guests, Emilio and Felix from ARMS. Tell everyone, ARMS is actually an acronym for
Anti-Racist Montreal Supporters.
I love this idea. I love this idea. I love this concept. I think it's needed in soccer and in Montreal in general. But before we get to that, like, what did you guys think of the match tonight? We lost to Columbus 2-0 in Columbus. Any impressions?
It was pretty terrible right from the start. Like, being able to get scored on from pretty much the first shot in the game, it's like, you know, it's going to be pretty shit from then on.
Yeah. You know? It was a pretty boring match.
Yeah.
But I did notice in the match, Columbus' second substitution, he was actually wearing a nice big black cast.
Yeah.
And, you know, you kind of wonder how can a big black cast be allowed that you can bash someone over the head with, and somehow we can't play with a turban in Quebec.
Yeah. That's the turban issue, but I want to know more about ARMS. Tell us, guys, what you guys are about.
Well, like you said before, it's an acronym for Anti-Racist Montreal Supporters, and we're not exactly a group, you know. We're just some people who really just started kind of thinking that this was a good idea to do about halfway through last season.
Yeah.
And it was just pretty much from other people going to games, just kind of talking, and there were some issues with racist or far-right people starting to be, like, involved in the section. And so there was actually kind of a need that had to be addressed to say that this can't take place in Montreal. And,
awesome.
Yeah.
Awesome.
So, like, I remember it was mid-April. It was the game here at Columbus at Stade Saputo. I wasn't here. I was in Dominican Republic. This guy sends me an email with your guys' pictures. This was basically the baptism, the christening of you guys.
Yeah.
What happens? What happened?
Well,
this is a funny kind of story, because it wasn't supposed to be nearly as, like, elaborate as it ended up being.
Yeah.
Initially, like, last year, Felix and I are talking. And essentially, we were just smoking some marijuana, and we said, hey, wouldn't it be funny if we had a two-stick with, you know, smoke weed written on it.
Yeah.
It sounded like a brilliant idea.
It's a simple message. Yeah. It's a simple instruction. Smoke weed. Yeah. Calm down. When I saw it, I thought to myself, and I looked up what ARMS was, because he had two smokeweed banners with an ARMS banner. I looked it up, I'm like, yes, it's really hard to be racist when you're high.
Exactly. Yeah, it's all there, right? And the big thing is it came out of
nothing.
It came out of nothing, because it was before we had thought of ARMS as like a actual idea that wasn't even a thought, and it was just kind of thinking up what could be the worst thing you could do and not be like popular at all, because obviously security was going to have a problem with that, and we just had to think what would be the worst thing that security could see. And it was just simple, like a smoke weed, like on a big marijuana leaf. It's pretty self-explanatory.
So, yeah, but the reason it got, like, it ended up expanding into those three banners is because Yomo 2 was doing a TIFO with the flags, the blue, the white, and the black, and it was supposed to say flying high at the front. And we were like, well,
that's the best.
Now it needs to be done. Yeah. So we made two more, or Felix and another member did another two more, and then we did some white smoke off with it, and we're like, this is going to be hilarious.
Yeah.
And so that's what we did.
It's especially perfect in the photos. Right below smoke weed, it's just a big cloud of white smoke. And yeah, it's a great message.
Yeah, it was funny.
It was beautiful. I saw it from the front row of section 120, and I couldn't believe it. And I was like, right on. Right on, man.
And
go for it.
Oh, and apparently, too, it didn't go over well at all. So mission accomplished right away. Even looking at people's comments on places where they're posting photos of supporters and things like that, right away it's just negative comments, and like a really surprisingly big thing for a lot of people, considering it wasn't that serious in our minds.
Did folks think you were giving the Impact Ultra supporter section a bad name, or
sort of like most? If you read where these things were posted, especially on Impact Soccer, the forums, a lot of people were very against it, and like, I don't know, for reasons which are somewhat understandable, but at the same time, like,
overblown.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So people were just, you know, it's a family-friendly environment, like, football should not be politicized. Even if it were to be politicized,
really?
This is an unnecessary message. Yeah.
So, because for me, legalize it would have been a political message.
Exactly.
Smoke weed could almost be a prescription.
What about freedom of speech?
In fact, it is. No.
Well, that's what people were saying, is, like, they made it out to be this big legalization,
exactly.
Like TIFO, like we had some sort of like backing behind it, when in reality it was just supposed to be something
hanging out,
just like hey, what's up, like
yeah,
this is what we're doing. It wasn't supposed to be like a pro legalization thing, so people just made that, you know.
Yeah.
So is there a reason we haven't seen the smoke weed prescription banner?
Well apparently, from what we had found out from the club a few games after, since we also had a running bet for how long it would take before security would come into the section and take it away. And, like, Emilio didn't think it would last minutes. And we went the whole game, and even in the middle of the game, had people just putting up those banners again. And there was no problem, but in the games afterwards, there was a big response from the club in terms of the security, and their reaction to the banners was pretty big.
So what happens when you come into Saputo Stadium with a banner? Does security look at it? What happens?
Not really.
Well, beforehand, the rules were pretty lax, and then, allegedly, I would say it's because of our banner. Right after that, there was a TIFO, the one against Toronto with the clown that was like with the blue smoke coming out, and you know, smother them.
Yeah.
That was the game right after, and then because of that, and we thought what ARMS ended up doing, there was a big response saying that there was all these new rules that they wouldn't let in banners the day of the game unless it came 3 hours beforehand. And,
yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
So a lot of backlash for that.
A lot of backlash, and we had never thought, or they had never said it was for that particular reason, for what we did.
Yeah.
But From what sources say, it totally was. But, and they've mentioned it at their own individual.
It was a double-edged sword, though, too, because we got a lot of backlash for it as well. But apparently, that's how you guys heard of us, and that's how like NASM heard about us. And like, we went from being like a bunch of like-minded UMO2 members to like a thing overnight. We were suddenly like something that people cared about.
Yeah.
Give you guys props. You guys got recognized.
Exactly. Yeah. And that was exactly that, where you said it was like a baptism, and that was it. We had always had stickers or designs, or we were known in people like in the supporters section. If you knew the support, you would see the presence. But the big thing that turned out that everyone kind of took notice about was smoke weed.
Which is funny because, like, we thought we were doing a lot better things before that. And then all of a sudden, like, that's the thing that gets us noticed. And we're like, well, we're now surprised we know what by people that, want.
You know? And then a lot of people kind of have that impression, too. Like, you can check up on other supporters and what they say. And we're kind of dismissed in, like, Vancouver, I know for sure, where they had posted a link to our page because of this whole Quebec like turban ban, and they kind of criticized us for being just general potheads who don't actually have a message, which is weird because we were active for like 8 months beforehand doing a lot more noteworthy things, or so we thought. But it's interesting to know, and then they don't know because we have a whole lot of other things planned. So
you guys got planted the stereotype potheads.
Well, apparently, ridiculous. Something that we didn't expect.
You know, in our section here at 120, we have the fumoir exits, and we go out, and when we're there, we're smoking our joints, and we see 10 feet away another group of three guys smoking their joint, and another 10 feet away another guy smoking their joint. So it's like,
you are definitely not the only guys smoking weed at Stade Saputo. Yeah. That is for sure. Yeah. Just in our fumoir, there's at least four or five groups every halftime smoking joints. So I don't know what, I mean, I see a little bit of hypocrisy here from some people.
And I'm sure in Vancouver, with their grass that they grow up in the fucking mountains and the Rockies, you're telling me you guys at fucking GM Place, you guys don't smoke weed at
all? I found that surprising too. I was like, out of all places that are going to label us a pothead?
Vancouver?
Like, yeah. But if you know about Vancouver support, they're actually like the antithesis of what people expect Vancouver citizens to be. Their most important or like noteworthy group out there was created by a youth pastor, and he's a wonderful person, but that's just indicative of what their supporter culture is. If you're being led by a pastor.
Sure.
So we saw a guy got subbed in with a cast. And what the fuck? He's able to play with the cast and bash somebody over the head and knock him out. But here in Quebec, where we live in, we've had this whole debate the last couple of days with the turbans.
Last couple of weeks? It's been lasting weeks now.
It's been a week, 10 days, a week and a half. The turbans. Yeah. What do you guys think of it? Racist or not?
Well, the whole thing is pretty ridiculous.
It's ridiculous.
It's really strange that anyone could ever think that would be a security risk or a danger.
Because you know what would be more of a security risk? Like if the Sikh player who never cuts his hair because of religious reasons plays without the turban, well, now he's got his flowing locks of long
uncut
hair,
uncut
hair that anyone can grab. That's more of a security risk.
And then also, too, especially when you point out how in tonight's game, you have someone with a really large cast. Like, I was kind of surprised by how big it was. It wasn't just like one of the sport casts.
And yeah, people go check it out. It's Columbus's second substitution late in the second half.
But then again, also, too, with the pros, right? It's also, too, we've all been there for, like, youth league soccer where we're not allowed to wear jewelry. But then look at Marco De Vaio. Like, oh, he just, like, conveniently white tape everywhere. Like, oh, that's not his wedding ring. Yeah, that's just an injury he's had for the past decade. So it's always different in the pros, too.
You know, guys, I actually looked up the FIFA rule. If you go to FIFA.com and you just Google, you search for laws of the game, and I actually remember the page. I forgot to bring it tonight, but it's page 67.
Okay.
And the rule is very much up to interpretation.
Exactly.
There's one place specifically where they leave it up to the interpretation of the referee to decide whether the piece of equipment poses a safety concern or not. So obviously, if anyone just interpreting that rule basically sees, it's up to the referee. Yeah. So to me, this was an isolated case of a referee or maybe a couple referees being a little too strict, and the Quebec Soccer Federation not really being smart enough to say, okay, let's just discipline.
Yeah.
Yeah, let's just kind of like take these couple referees aside and tell them, like, look, guys, you know, you're going a little overboard. And to me, it's like this has lasted like 2 or 3 weeks now. We're now at June 15th, and this has been a so-called thing, a controversy, for a couple weeks now.
Yeah.
Like, they've been sanctioned by the CSA. FIFA has now come in.
A lot has gone on. And then
Joey Saputo has made a statement.
Yeah. And it got really political. Like, it was very strange because it happened, and we were all talking, like, amongst the group and saying, like, well, this is something that we have to address with a banner. Like, obviously, this is something we have to weigh in on. And it's since the last game, it started and it kind of reached a climax where it was, like, super political, and then it ended. And, like, that's really strange. We haven't had any chance, like, at a game or anything to show a banner.
I think the latest development is that FIFA has now kind of weighed in on it as of today,
that's,
as
like,
of Saturday the 15th.
Yeah.
That
it's acceptable.
They've clarified a turban is acceptable.
And Quebec has agreed too. They say, well, okay, if FIFA says it's all right.
They've finally caved in. Because
that's how it is.
FIFA's the boss.
Exactly.
And FIFA's going to reanalyze this supposedly until November of this year. And there will be a final decision in March 2014 whether turbans will be accepted in the near future or not.
And then there'll
be more clarity on the topic.
Exactly. And the FSQ has said to the person, the general director, I forget her name, but she had said that FIFA is like God, so, you know, that's a pretty big quote when you get a rule from them. And then it's strange too, because this is similar to the hijab thing that happened in 2007.
Yeah.
But the weird thing that when that rule was interpreted, since it's not allowed, just like how this was interpreted, at that time it was a Muslim ref. So he had said that a hijab might not be safe. So, like, that's always strange. Sometimes it's just personal refs or like an individual viewpoint, and then it gets really big. Like, it really turned into a political issue, and it was really strange to see.
I just hope from now until November that this gives enough time for FIFA, the CSA, the QSF to basically collect the survey data, do the research in order to prove whether turbans are safe or not.
Exactly.
Because it's easy saying it's not safe, but where's the data to prove that?
Yeah.
Where's the research? I want to see it. Like I said before, I'm pretty sure Sikhs with turbans have fell down before and not injured themselves with the turban.
Nobody's died.
Nobody has had an inversion sprain or an ACL sprain.
Yeah.
Jeff Broski himself admitted he'd rather hit his head on a turban instead of breaking his nose in 6 places. So that's just coming from a soccer player. So I find this bullshit, and to me, it's racist.
George, you're calling racism on it, eh?
Calling racism. This is racism.
I'm calling overzealotry on the referee. I'm calling lethargy and slowness to react on QSF. And I think it's just emblematic of how in Canada the whole soccer system is so fractured between the individual provinces having different rules and different ways of controlling things, and the CSA has no control on the provincial soccer federations. And this is why we're a country with this poor national team, no long-term player development, because the provinces have their own little fiefdoms where they want to control everything in terms of soccer within that province. And like the official said the first week, very stupidly in my opinion, that they can go play in their backyards without a referee, have a non-sanctioned match if they feel like it.
They could register to play with their friends.
You know, and I mean, in theory, if you followed that to its logical conclusion, the Sikh community could form its own league. You know, they don't necessarily have to be sanctioned by the QSF. They can form their own league with their own referees. So I think it's a very dangerous road they go down by banning certain things, because they're basically, you know, the role of any association is to grow its membership. What a stupid move to exclude a whole demographic, a whole nationality, just based on a headgear issue. You know, like, what are you thinking in terms of an association? Your goal is to raise membership, raise revenue, build the game, not exclude people from it. Sorry, I'm getting worked up.
It was definitely suspect. I mean, I would say that a big problem in this is also FIFA. Like, it's pretty strange to even find out that in 2013 that this wasn't an acceptable item to be on the field, considering that they've already been able to update it with things for injuries or stuff like that for other parts of the dress code, and then here they don't have that. And that's also really strange that you can leave something like that up to a gray area.
Well, the thing, I really encourage people to go to the FIFA website. Seriously, if you go in the search engine and you type laws of the game, it's going to come up right away. And you go to page 67, and yes, it's very clear. But it's also, it's written very clearly, but it's very clearly open to the interpretation of the referee, of the officials. And that's why I'm calling over zealotry on that particular official. Because, I mean, it's a game that's played in every nation across the world, so you can't start making a list. If you're going to have rules that are clear and concise and that are general rules of the game, you can't start listing every single piece of possible headgear, face mask, braces, God knows what. You got to have rules that are clear but are somewhat open to interpretation. So that's
the thing.
Joey
said it was open to interpretation, and this is how the QSF interpreted the situation. Yeah. If you're not allowed wearing turbans, then Darren Maddox, you can't wear your headband.
Yeah.
Anybody in the Italian national squad, you can't wear your bra straps. Put it like that, you know. You have beads at the end of your dreads or your rastas. Sorry, those beads are not allowed as well.
Because Kyle Beckerman, you better cut your dreads.
You can't have three feet of hair behind you.
Yeah, how is Kyle Beckerman's hair less dangerous than a turban?
These are questions.
Yeah.
These are unanswered questions.
This is an MLS point of view.
Your move, QSF.
Yeah. But then a big thing I found weird, too, on the other side was... Yeah. Obviously, I'd look up what other people in Canada and the MLS community say about stuff like this, and it was really kind of bad to see how much that it just became like a really political issue on everyone's end, where there's a lot of people who were just saying, oh, well, this is like Quebec rearing its ugly head, and then they were kind of saying, or I saw some people that were just outright thinking that, oh, yes, this is like Quebec's point of view on everything. And this is like a commonly held belief that people are closed-minded, and that's really weird, you know, because obviously we're both born in Quebec, and
I think we're all born in Quebec here.
Exactly, and like we're clearly involved in like the game, and we're not like of that opinion at all. We're quite obviously not racist.
Well, no, and I think a lot of us are not racist, but it's important to clearly state that you know, we're supporters united against racism.
Exactly.
Because if we don't keep on saying it, it's going to rear its ugly head eventually.
Yeah.
Have you guys traveled to Toronto for the away games with the Impact?
Of course.
Yeah.
And have you seen the racism there with the Ontario rights, the Torontonians?
Yeah.
Towards the ultras, French frogs go back home. Peppers.
Yeah, a lot of that.
That's racism.
Yeah, there's definitely a lot of like xenophobia and prejudice against teams and fans from Quebec, and I know it's pretty strange for me as an Anglophone from Quebec to pretty much any time I get involved in, you know, talking about the Impact or going to games or just doing what any fan would be doing, I'm always like a frog or a pepper, and it's really strange because I quite clearly am not.
Yeah. So go back home to your country.
Exactly. And we don't want to paint all Toronto fans with the same brush. This is clearly the minority of TFC fans. Yeah. Much love to Ian Clark and Red Nation
Steve
Online.
Steve Botcher, Red Nation Online.
You side stand up. We love you guys.
The Voyageurs. What's up?
How's
exactly.
it going over there?
Really? You know, but I was there last October, and the racism I saw afterwards the game was just ridiculous. They had to, the ultras were basically, they couldn't leave their spots. They had to wait until the whole stadium evacuated, and all the TFC fans were at the bottom just pitching racism towards the ultras. And to me, it was like, I'm here and you guys are shouting over my shoulder and I'm looking at you and you guys are not saying nothing, you know? It's like, what the fuck? Isn't this the beautiful game?
Yeah.
They treated not the beautiful
it's
game,
pretty,
they disrespected it.
Strange to see. Thankfully, I would say, since I've been a fan for a while and involved in like support and road trips and that sort of culture for a while, and it was worse at the USL level. Portland actually used to be a really big thing where they would post photos of like hung Kermit the Frog dolls and stuff in front of their sections all games. And that stuff was used to be front and center of the Timbers Army. That's kind of died down now, but that's still really common. In Rochester as well, they used to be like very large rivals, and I know I would actually, the very first Impact game I went to without knowing about support or ultras or anything, I had rocks thrown at me by like people from Rochester and saying like calling me frogs at the same time. And it's really strange because I'm not a francophone, so it doesn't apply to me at all, yet they think it's extremely applicable.
Yeah, all racists like to paint with a wide brush.
Yeah, well, the thing is like I as much as I think it's less prevalent in Montreal to kind of like throw these types of terms around and like these what we would consider like racist slurs. I think it's important to not just say that we're all the best here, because that's part of the reason that ARMS was
exactly.
created.
That's true.
Especially last year when we went to Toronto, or I think we just came back from Toronto, and on Twitter there is this one guy, and we don't know who he is. 2 years ago?
Yeah.
I think it was just last year, but I think it was our first year in MLS. Anyway, there was some guy on Twitter who said something along the lines of, like, oh, we hate you, Toronto. Like, your city is, like, just full of packies anyway.
Yeah.
Oh,
but
man.
It was like, so to say that in Montreal, like, we're all the best, I wouldn't say that's the case, because part of the reason ARMS was created is because we saw a need for it, and we saw a place for it, and we saw a reason to stand up and be like, no, this is not okay.
Exactly.
So, yeah. It goes both ways.
Because even beyond what was, I found really strange, because the Twitter account was not from like any handle that someone would recognize. The account was pretty barren, and it was just really strange that was one of their big things. So that was like a strange anomaly, but also actually in the supporters section, we had started to see people who were along those lines, like very openly in their support, that we had to also kind of show that there was a resistance to that, and that you, if anyone would see in photos or videos or like get the wrong sort of impression based off the actions of like a few individual idiots, that they would know that there's also a presence of people who are organized to show that, you know, that isn't welcome, and we can't really let that get started, because it started to happen last season, and that's kind of what was the final push to do ARMS, to create it.
Well, I love the fact that, you know, the supporters section is this sort of self-regulating entity, community, and I think it's totally so important that you guys are, like, saying what you're saying. So, like, how can people get in touch with you? Like, are you guys on Twitter or what?
We're not on Twitter. We have a Facebook page, which I believe is just Anti-Racist Montreal Supporters.
Anti-Montreal.
No, it's Anti-Racist, full on.
Oh, full.
It's full
name,
full thing.
But if for the URL...
Oh,
for the URL, if you're quicker that way, if you're web savvy, just Anti-Raw Montreal Supporters after the slash.
What section do you guys represent at the Stade Saputo?
Every section.
I like that.
That's a good answer.
I
was going to go 132, but that's way cooler.
We're not like explicit we're not our own group, you know, we're not ultras, we're not whatever, we're people who want to be organized, and if this is what they think and they want to support this in any sort of way, or even just kind of show that and like share that message and just say that, hey, you know, this is something that isn't a problem in Montreal, you know, there's an organized people to keep racism out of this area. They don't have to be in 132 or whatever, especially considering one of our members, one of our like initial members is not currently located in this city at all.
Not even in this country.
Not in this country at all. Not on the continent. And he's out doing amazing work. He does a lot of the important parts of ARM. So it's like important to show that we're not just ultras and we're not in one section. We're wherever we want to be.
And if people like want stickers or something to put up around the city, like we have started doing, just like send us a message on the Facebook and we'll hook something up and we'll get you stickers. We're not really charging for them now. We can just kind of hand them out because the more coverage the better. But
dude, I will buy some stickers. I'm going to plaster my march to the match from basically Rosemount down through the Olympic Park down to Saputo.
And that's the purpose. You know, we had several thousand made
last week.
The very first time we made one sticker design with a few thousand stickers, and we never charged people. If people just asked or got in contact with us, we would do that because it's, you know, about propagating the message and like showing that there's this presence in the whole city and also like in the world, right?
That's making our cause sound a little bit more epic than it actually is.
Well, they're out in parts of Germany and France and England and on stadiums like notably like West Ham's or Millentor for like St. Pauli.
Awesome.
And so that's showing that there's a global reach.
So from 132 at Saputo, we're spreading tolerance and compassion all around the Saputo, all around the world, baby.
It's very idealistic, but I mean, it's also happening.
But it's also
happening. I believe that it takes idealists to make a change. It's the pessimists and the apathetic ones who keep us all back.
Exactly. And we have a lot of things we would like to do this season. We have a lot planned that we already know that are confirmed. So last year, where we thought we were doing quite a lot before the whole smoke weed thing this season, we're going to be doing like 10 times that in terms of...
Can you give us a sneak preview? Like, what do you have planned?
Well, before we had just one single sticker design made, just modest, like 1,000 or so, and we have two concrete sticker designs, like a third as well, and like several thousand, also banner ideas as well.
Yeah,
exactly. You know, we just want to make sure that there is the presence and we're not just known as like, oh, you're the people who have the weed leaves, right?
So if people want to contribute to making your projects happening this season, they can reach you guys on Facebook.
Yep.
If they want to get in touch with you, they can always reach us at 514_FC.
And if you just want to get in contact with them spiritually, halftime, smoke your joints. When you smoke your joints, you're not racist.
And we're all in the same boat.
We're all in the same boat. It's all about love, respect, and the beautiful game. And when you're at Stat Saputo, it's always a beautiful game.
And we're going to take your prescription right now. We're gonna go smoke some weed in the lane behind Café Frappé.
Of course.
Enjoy munching all night.
Tous pour gagner, guys.
514FC signing off.
Whatever it takes.
With arms, whatever it takes. Yeah.
Tous pour gagner.
Booyakasha. Thank you.